This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We're on episode season 3, episode 17. We have a lot to go through, as ever, in the world of QPR. Just introducing who's on the podcast today. So we've got Harry Edwards. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, mate. Very well. We've got the returning up the R's, Ollie. Welcome back, mate.
Good to be here, mate. Good to be here.
Are you sure? You happy?
Yeah, buzzing, mate.
And we've also got Duncan, a.k.a. Barbe McCready. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Can't complain. It's been an interesting week.
Any more posts? Any more postal strikes?
Well, no. Our CEO's been in Parliament today, so I'm waiting to find out tomorrow what the outcome of all that is. So, okay. Strikes aren't looking like you, though, so don't worry, you'll get your post.
Process. Talking of process, it was on my list of stuff that was going on in the last couple of weeks. I mean, there's so much. Since the last time we did a pod, we've lost two games, badly. We've lost the manager, Neil Critchley. We've also brought in Gareth Ainsworth. There's a planned protest that was going on Saturday. I don't know if that's still happening. And the board, who are getting so much abuse on social media, I've not really seen much in the last couple of days. So I don't know if they've played a blinder or in the appointment of Gareth Ainsworth. But lads, what's your initial thoughts on Gareth Ainsworth? Anyone want to kick off?
I was happy. When I first heard of the rumours, I wasn't too impressed. I think it was a bit of a lackluster, unencouraging appointment. And then the more I kind of looked at it, the more I was like, actually, this kind of is exactly what we need. I think you just need to look at the last few games to see that the players lack any sort of real passion and character on the pitch. And I think having someone like Ainsworth coming could do a job. You know, when you think into it, the players that he's done well with, for example, Eze. You know, if it weren't for him, he probably wouldn't have even got that £20 million move. So I think it's exciting. Obviously, someone has said that he went around and spoke to the young players for like 10 minutes each the other day, which is great. And hopefully, you know, he brings a bit of excitement and buzz back into the ground because it's completely needed.
The thing with Gareth Ainsworth is that there was always a time and a place for him at the club, wasn't there? Like, he's been linked, but it's never been quite right. But I feel like when you look at what was out there, I mean, there may have been a couple of better people possibly, but there were certainly a lot more worse people that we could have brought in. And I think you're right, Ollie, we need someone who's just gonna get these players going, a bit of scruff of the neck, get them playing, because and make no bones about it, he's picked up a it's going to be challenging, isn't it? He's picked up a team that have won 1 in 15. We've got half a squad injured. We've got the other half out of form. So it's going to take something special from him over the next sort of few weeks to try and get us. Because relegation is, it's a possibility, certainly. But a couple of wins and I think we'll be all right. You know, we get those wins on the board early. But the more I see of him and the more I hear of him and the more time that goes by, the more I'm brought into him. I don't know if that's anyone else is feeling the same. When you see sort of the social media and see us, I really enjoyed his interview yesterday as well. It was completely different, night and day, to Neil Critchley, right?
Yeah. No, I'd echo all of it. And I'm actually quite buzzing now. And I'm telling myself that's because, like, what I've seen, he's going to be the right man for the job. But then there's a part of me that's thinking, have I just been completely sucked in by what everyone was saying was just going to be an appeasement appointment? And, like, I'm really hoping that it's more than that, but it certainly works. Like, I'm thinking back to, I was young, but he was in the first team that I watched. And I hope it's not just nostalgia, but I do think he will get more out of this team. And that is what we need right now, because we've massively been underperforming, and just anyone who can get more out of the team will go down a treat with the fans.
Dunk, what's your view, mate?
Considering everything that was planned for the weekend and everything that's been going on, I think the board have played an absolute blinder here by doing everything they can to take the fire off them. I feel like club legends, I will back him. But I do feel like it's a decision made more to calm down the fan base rather than actually like a managerial decision. It's my personal opinion. I think he'll bring a lot of pride, passion, fight to the team, which we need. But at the same time, if this was August and we were still in the Championship, there wasn't a issue, would he have been first choice at the start of the season? Rather than coming in now to kind of firefight it.
Well, this question marks
is my only is my only kind of opinion on it.
I do agree with the questioning around he wasn't good enough 2 months, 3 months ago. He wasn't good enough in the summer, but all of a sudden he's now fully equipped to take on the role. And I don't know if that's, like I said, a change in situation, and we are where we are. And, you know, I don't know. Worst case, we do go down, I guess. He's going to be a good man to bring us back up, right? I don't know. It's a bit odd like that, but go on.
I was going to say, is that really negative that you're already thinking, is he being brought in case we go down?
Because no, he knows. I don't think he is. It's just a contingency, I guess, isn't it? Just in case. But touching on the board, lads, it has masked what was, you know, when I was going on social media last week, all I saw were the banners and the comments on the board, and I haven't really seen that at the moment. Do we think that will return if we go keep not winning?
I don't think the protest will go on Saturday, because I think, you know, as much as people are saying you can't just, you know, fall for the PR stunt and not give in, and I think if we were to go and protest at the weekend, I think it'd be disrespectful to Gareth. And I think we might leave it, but I think the message is still there. I think the want to get the board out is still there. I just think this particular protest is probably not the right time to do it, because, you know, you want to get behind, you know, a club legend. You don't want to be protesting on the day where he has his first game in charge. So the message is still there, and I think the want for them to leave is there, but I don't think this weekend is a great time to do that.
With the whole board thing, I in general, I would just be interested to hear why everyone's so keen to get them gone now after a terrible run, but there wasn't any speak of it for the last 18 months of Warburton and the first 6 months of Beal. I just think surely it's more to do with at the highest level, Les, and then the playing and coaching staff. Like, that would be my point of view.
It's reactionary, isn't it? This is reactionary.
I think the problem is, when if it was going rosy with Beale, it was covering up some of the cracks that have been there for a long time. Like the whole model of buying these youngsters from academies to then sell them for profit. Like, how many can you name that have actually worked that we've done
with? Yeah, no, it's true.
Like, I think certain fans, I think like a section of the fan base is getting fed up of being spun like the same kind of nonsense from like people like Les, where they come on and say, oh yeah, we're investing in the youth team because that's going to be what's keep the club afloat. Like, it's not working though. And we're not reinvesting any money realistically into the team. I think that's partly where the like fan frustration comes from with regards to like Les and the board.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I completely understand the frustration to the board, because at some point there's got to come a point when you look at the remit of what you want from the club, and we can't just keep doing this. There's something fundamentally wrong within the club from what I can see anyway. You know, there's too many decisions that we get wrong, and who's actually running the club? Is it Les? Does he actually run the club, or is it? I'd love to know a bit more about who actually has the biggest say. I know, like, obviously they'll all have their own say, but someone is making these decisions. Do you know what I mean? Who rubber stamps it all? Is it Amit?
I think from my understanding, everything to do with the football is Les. I think he's the top of that, and then I think, everything non-match day or revenue-based, anything to do with money, I think it's Lee Hughes. I think they're the two that have control on, one's on the commercial side, one's on the performance side. But I don't know that for 100% fact, but...
But some of the decisions that we've decided to do or not do over the last sort of couple of years has not been great, has it? I mean, you know, who gave Hammerlinen a 4 or 5 year contract? To, you know, who gave Critchley I mean, it's happened to Ainsworth. He's got a 3.5 year contract. Is it me, or do these just seem like stupidly long contracts? I don't know if that's
it's our third 3 year deal in a season that we've given to a manager. That's crazy.
We've lost the Beale conversation money already, pretty much. I'd imagine because we paid Wickham for, I don't know how much we paid him, but he wouldn't have come for, you know, there would have been some sort of compensation in that. We would be paying Critchley every week is his wage, and I'd imagine till he finds a new job.
Just about why Ainsworth wasn't right when Critchley came in. Do you not think that the compensation could have had a part to do with that? Like, was it the cheaper option to go for Critchley over Ainsworth then?
Possibly, mate, but we had the compensation there, didn't we? And if we really wanted him, we could have got him. I don't think the compensation... I don't know, but I can't imagine.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Massive amounts. And in the summer, Beale would have been more expensive to get him. You know, we paid quite a bit to get him out, didn't we? When we spoke to Les earlier on in the season. So just quickly then, with Critchley, what went so wrong with him?
It's hard to really put your finger on it, but I feel like he came into a club where the players have just dropped down tools. Like, I feel like the whole Beale situation, we all said, like, was it the Cardiff game, wasn't it, when we were at home? We all thought Beale was leaving. Came out, got a 3-0 win, and we were like, that's all right. Like, players seem to know what's going on. And then he kind of was like, I'm staying. That then didn't. Do you think the players have kind of gone, right, what's going on here? We're told all in. He's not all in. We've now got a new gaffer. Like, what's going on with this? Like, I don't know. I just feel like, I don't feel like as much as it's Critchley's fault. I do feel, obviously, he's a manager. He's got to take the brunt of it. But I do feel the players and the squad have let all the managers, like, I've let obviously Beale down a little bit, but like more so Critchley down. It is them, because I feel like they've down tools this season. You look at the last few games, especially like the Sunderland game, the last like 10 minutes of the Sunderland game was just embarrassing how many players were just not running, not doing anything, deliberately trying like throw into tackles and just getting booked for what purpose? Like that last 10 minutes was embarrassing as a fan.
We were still very much in the game as well. I know we missed the penalty, but we were only 1-0 down. And as soon as the penalty missed, you could see everybody just deflate, didn't they? Ollie, what are your views on Critchley, mate? I mean, from my perspective, he got dealt a real difficult hand. We inherited this squad of not his players, very much Beal. Beal sold the dream, didn't he? Which they all brought into. That dream's gone. We were already on a little bit of a slump. And he's just not been able to turn it around, has he? I don't know what he was like in the dressing room, but I can't imagine him just being like really inspiring. I know that
that's where it went
should
wrong.
That matter? But
No, it does. I think that's where we went wrong. We needed a man manager and we hired a coach. And I think that was the biggest mistake of it all. You know, we need someone that's going to come in and get lads, you know, really riled up. And I think we brought in a coach. And, you know, as much as he done well at Blackpool, I think, you know, when you've had the team come up from League One, they've got that hunger in them already. You know, we bottled getting near the playoffs last season. So we needed that boost. Beal gave it. You know, Beal's gone. And we needed someone in that's going to, you know, get him back in belief. And I don't think that was Critchley. I think Critchley's a coach. I think his football's probably quite good. But I think now was the wrong time to hire him. Had we hired him in the summer, I think he probably could be in quite a good position if it was instead of Beal. Because I think he's a good coach. I think he had to go. I think you could see just in his interviews that he had lost the hunger that he had as well. I won't use the excuse the players unsettled because of Beal. They're not kids, you know, they're unsettled. You can't be unsettled really when you're a professional footballer, as much as people say they will. It was the right decision. I think it's just a matter of him. He's the right coach at the wrong time. I think they're genuine. I just think it's the wrong time for him.
I think as well, like your key point there about the man management, I think that's exactly why Ainsworth's been brought in. I think he's the kind of coach who's going to come in and he's going to try and gel that dressing room as quickly as he can. He might not be as good a coach as Critchley on the like training field, but I think in the dressing room, he's going to motivate. And I think that's why he's come in.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's it. I think Beal was good. He had that. You know, I could imagine him being inspiring. And these players, it's a group of young, fragile players, and they've shown that. Like when the chips are down, they can sometimes go missing. And I think that's what we need. And I think what highlights best how poor of a man manager Critchley must have been was he won his first game. So we spoke about that rut we were in before. How can you go and win your first game and not use that to galvanise the squad? But surely you've got to be using that to get them going. It's almost like he didn't on a Monday when he's gone into training, he's just reminded them of the crap five games they had before before he came in. Like it was puzzling that his best performances came early on, which makes me feel watching it that the players. Less so were like unsettled by the Beal thing, but almost like didn't believe in what they were being told by him. Now that's how I saw it, but towards the end at least. And that's why I think he had to go.
I think it's what like Beal had the luxury of having Chair and Willock on fire at the start of the season. And neither of them been the players like since Critchley came in.
Yeah.
I think that doesn't help as well, does it? Having so many players out of form.
Yeah, but you're as a manager, you're responsible for that as much as anybody. Like if you know, that's where your man management comes in. And the thing with Critchley, I thought he was slightly unlucky on like you know the Sheffield United game. I feel like sometimes there was a couple of games that went other way. He would still be in the job now, wouldn't he? Because we would have got an extra six points, and the table would look a little bit different, and maybe there wouldn't be so much. Uproar and stuff. So I think maybe he got a bit unlucky, but I just had no confidence in the last few weeks that he was going to turn it around. I really didn't. His interviews were they just deflated more and more and more week on week, didn't they? Like he was just, I don't even think he believed that he could turn it around, but he's on a 3.5-year contract. So he wasn't going to go anywhere, was he? He was just going to carry on doing. The thing with Critchley, actually, the one thing that I really did that really annoyed me was everything was always the same. Do you know what I mean? Nothing ever changed. Nothing. There was it's not like we looked at a team sheet and gone, oh, he's done something different here. Like changed it up. It was always the same. And it was very Bealy. It was always, do you know what I mean? Like the way, like it just, the transition of players and the way it just felt the same, didn't it? There was no like, he didn't.
Or if he did something different, it would be chucking a Domer in, which like,
yeah,
isn't exactly like an exciting change to the team sheet, is it?
Yeah, I think when you say about he looked, you know, he looked miserable, I think that it is, you know, we have to forget that, you know, we have to remember rather that, you know, a footballer is still, he's an employee of the club. You know, that manager is their manager. If you're working in, I don't know, Tesco's and your manager's miserable and he's like, oh yeah, well, the last 5 weeks we've been down, you've not done your jobs properly and he's miserable, he's not going to make you want to do any better, is he? I think that is completely, for me, the issue. He came in, got a win and didn't big him up and be like, oh, you boys can do this. Like, you've got potential this season. He done, in my opinion, the opposite. It was just completely miserable. That's where it went wrong for me. Yeah.
And he threw him under the bus like a multitude of times early on. I know that Fleetwood game was horrendous, but that interview, I don't know if I've seen a QPR manager slate the players as heavily. And I don't know, like, maybe this group just don't respond well to that. And that's not necessarily his fault, but it's his fault for not knowing how they're going to respond to these sorts of things.
But again, that's all like secondary. You live and die. If you're going to build in it, I do remember right at the start, we had a really, I can't remember who it was now, but he went in on a couple of the players. It was Johansson, do you remember?
Yeah.
And it worked, right? It worked because I remember when we did that, Johansson went on an amazing run, didn't he? Do you remember? He was quality for about. So if you're going to do it, it's fine to, like, I don't agree that you should or shouldn't do it, but you need to get the right response. And if you don't, then, you know.
I think the fact that you've just said the player it worked on was Steph. And obviously Harry's already, admitted that the team is quite young. I think that's the problem. You can't throw young players under the bus.
Yeah.
I feel like footballers are becoming more and more kind of like protected and like they don't like getting a bollocking anymore. Like the old hairdryer treatment, just don't see managers doing it very often anymore, unless it's the senior pros and the senior pros have been there and experienced it already. And I felt that's part of the problem, like, with the modern game to a little bit is old school managers will struggle because they can't bollock players because they're so sensitive. Like they're not used to getting a grilling and being told how awful they've been. They're kind of used to having the arm around the shoulder. Come on, lads, we'll do better next week. And I feel like if you attack the right player with it, like, I'm a bit older than obviously some of the other lads. And when I was playing football, if my manager gave me a grilling, I'd be like, I'm going to show you actually you're wrong. Whereas I think nowadays I don't necessarily think kids react the same way. So that could be a part of the problem as well.
To be fair, I was listening to an interview with Niall Ranger the other day, and he was saying, because you know how much trouble he was when he was a kid. You know, he was saying that he was happy being mediocre and earning his wage, and Dennis Wise gave him an absolute bollocking, and it completely changed his game. He's playing Premier League football after that. I think nowadays, maybe football, as much as it's a bit cliche, I think has gone a bit soft. I genuinely think it has. But yeah, you know,
it's
how it goes.
Interesting.
Yeah. I can't imagine somebody like Tim Irabunim like coping well with getting a bollocking.
Nah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just from that kind of player, how young he is, I just don't think he'd be used to it. Whereas someone like Steph, you know, he's had it before, so he knows how to handle it.
I mean, when we reflect on Critchley, he'll be known as probably the worst manager appointment that we've made in recent history, if not ever. Yeah. I mean, and that's slightly unfair, but probably the truth. 8% win rate is ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Throw in a loss to Fleetwood as well in there in the cup, which is nothing new to any QPR manager, but you just sort of add it in there. And our only win was a fluky Jimmy Dunn goal that hit him and went in. Like, and Preston were terrible on the day, weren't they? It wasn't like we completely outplayed them. We've got a bit... We're going to move on to a bit of Ainsworth. We've got the Wickham Way have given us another podcast. They've given us a bit of a Q&A for a few minutes. So have a little listen to this on what we can expect from Gareth Ainsworth.
How good a job did Gareth Ainsworth do at Wickham? To be honest, I feel like a broken record answering this question. One of those questions you get asked on every podcast or every interview, and I say the same thing. At the end of the 2012-13 season, we were one game away from relegation to non-league football. If we'd have gone down that season, that would have been it for us as a club, really. You know, we were really in dire straits. That would have been a lot of trouble. He kept us up that year. 2 years later, we were at Wembley in the League Two playoff final. I think 4 years later, we're promoted to League One. And then obviously the championship season came a couple of years after that, all on a shoestring budget. He didn't spend any money until the championship season. You know, he built teams confident.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Winning, he built a culture at Wycombe Wanderers that you won't get anywhere else in world football. And I'm sure do the same for you guys. You know, to put it bluntly, the job he did with us, I don't think any manager, especially, you know, sort of League One, League Two level, wouldn't have been able to replicate that or even give it a go. You know, you see all these sort of stories of your Scunthorpes and your Oldhams. You know, we were in their sort of position financially, and it was thanks to the teams that Gareth Ainsworth built that we were able to get out of a similar mess. And so to answer the question, the job he did at Wycombe, unbelievable. You know, we can't thank him enough, and we are where we are really because of him. What can we expect from an Ainsworth team? If you had asked me that question before our championship promotion, or, you know, even the first half of that championship season, I'd have said it's sort of very direct, with little to no quality in that midfield area when you're sort of in transition. But that it had to change in the championship, and I'm glad that we sort of stuck with that the last two seasons in League One. You know, there's a lot more emphasis on perhaps not, you know, wasting your time passing it around the back, but there's a lot more quality when you're getting that ball forward. You know, we've sort of brought in defenders who can play on the floor that we didn't perhaps have before, and then the transition period, you know, into midfield, then up front, with two ball-playing midfielders in Josh Scowell and Lewis Wing, it's made it much more pleasing on the eye. You know, I think there's obviously more quality in the QPR squad, and he'll be able to utilise that. You know, he's always been restricted to what he's had at Wycombe, really, which means when we were signing players for free, you know, back in the day, there was, you know, he had to play with what he had. You know, for a lot of years, we played the back end Fenwa as a sole striker, and you know what you're going to get when he's up front. You're going to get long balls up to his chest, and he's going to bring players around him. You know, it wasn't pretty to watch, but it worked. You know, we got results from it. But you know, I'm very glad that his style of football has evolved, because it needed to, really. You know, we were even now, you know, we go into games and the interviews are, you know, what you're going to get from a Wycombe team, but I don't think I think it's quite a lazy stereotype. I think we've surprised a lot of teams this season. You know, we've won 5 in a row. We're bang up there again. And even with Ainsworth's departure, he has built a team who can play good football, and hopefully he'll be all right for the end of the season. I expect him to take Elias Chair under his wing. You know, he's probably glad that he's got Chris Martin and Lyndon Dykes when he's back fit at his disposal, because he will use them and he will get the best out of them. But I think you can expect, you know, direct football which is what he likes to play, but a lot of quality in there. It's not a big hoof, a big lump up top as it was sort of 3 or 4 years ago. It's much more calculated, a lot of quality, and you know, it's effective football. And it can be pleasing to the eye, not every week. You know, there'll be some games where you are frustrated depending on how he sets up, but on the whole it's good to watch and it gets results. Strength and weaknesses. A big strength of Gareth Ainsworth, as I mentioned before, is the culture that he can build at a football club. You know, he really instills that winning mentality, and he's sort of a big sort of he really ups the motto, there's no I in team. You know, he hates individuals. You know, you're either part of his team and you buy into what he's about, or you're straight out the door. You know, we've had individuals at Wickham in the past who sort of, who didn't fit that culture. And at the first opportunity, he's got rid of them. And, you know, it's a big call to make sometimes, you know. Some really talented individuals, but because they don't fit into the culture of the dressing room, he doesn't want them there. So I think that's a strength of his, you know, away from the football on the pitch. I think he's built winning mentality teams at Wickham for years now. He's built a culture around the ground that will stay there for years to come under Matt Bloomfield now. But, you know, it's not a strength of his management on the pitch. You know, it is a direct winning style of football. You know, it will get results that you haven't had in the last few months under Neil Critchley. And by all accounts, it's a much different style of football. But it will work. You know, you've got the players there that will fit an Ainsworth team to a T. But what I would say in terms of weaknesses is sometimes he can be a little bit slow to change things in game if they're not working. You know, some of his subs are late and questionable, although I think a lot of our fans would agree that this season that has improved. You know, he's really taken on board some of the criticism from fans and especially the owners. You know, they've sort of said the results aren't good enough. They need to be changed. And I think his in-game management has improved because of that. You know, he's no longer scared to make an early sub, but I would say that was a weakness, even a couple of months ago, really. But apart from that, there's not much else I could really criticise him of. You know, a fantastic man, a fantastic manager. And that's the thing, you've not just got yourself a good manager, you've got yourself a great person there as well. You know, he'll make the fans feel important. You know, he'll big them up every single game. Every single person at that football club will feel like they've got a role to play in how that team performs on the pitch, and that's so important. You know, I don't think even at Wickham we've had our bad spells under him. We've always felt like we were going to get out of it. You know, you always feel like you're in a good place under him. I remember our first season in League One. You know, we were right in the thick of it at the bottom. I don't think we won in 15 games or something. But you know, the owners and the club, they stuck by him. You know, and all through that time, the fans especially, we thought we were going to get out of it, and we did. You know, thanks to him and what he did. So yeah, I mean, all the very best to Ainsworth and to obviously QPR. I've got no doubt that you're going to stay up this season. If I'm honest, I'm not sure where the worries are. And yeah, you're going to go from strength to strength under him. Just give him the time, you know, give him the love and appreciation from the stands. And he'll do wonderful things for you. Cheers, guys. All the very best.
That's Gareth Ainsworth then. we've just heard there from the Wickham fans themselves. I'm really looking forward to this Dobson as well. He's come with real, real high reputation. He's, I don't know if he's still a QPR fan now, but he's a season ticket holder earlier on in his life. I was reading that on the Wickham forums that he was offered the job at Wickham, but Ainsworth wouldn't leave without him. So that kind of tells you how important he is.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a few Wickham fans saying without him, Ainsworth isn't Ainsworth. So I feel that might be quite a good coup. Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know a huge amount about him, but I'm excited to see what he can do. It's not the first time we've been told how good an assistant manager is, so hopefully this time live up to it.
Well, again, I think it goes back to the... I think Ainsworth's going to be the motivator, the man manager, and Dobson's obviously the guy on the training pitch. He's the coach. He's the guy who's going to get them doing whatever they need to be doing on that side of the game. So they seem to work well, don't they? They seem to... Like Wickham, as much as like some people like don't like the style of play, they do all right. They punch above their weight in terms of like their budget and stuff. So I feel like Ainsworth, we've got to give him a chance. We've got to hope that it works out well.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Dobson, I've read, so he spends a lot of the time sort of almost like sussing out the team's weaknesses. I don't know if you've seen, but Wickham don't tend to, well, they haven't tended to set up in the same way each week. Like they're adaptable, but it tends to be him, the one that's spotting those weaknesses. So should be a decent coach. But then the other thing that I saw, and it sort of comes back to the young, fragile squad, which is why I'm quite excited about him, is when he was with the youth setup, he was like head of youth at Wickham before he was an assistant manager. He had a massive psychological focus. And like the head of FA said, it was the biggest one in Europe at the time. It was only Sevilla doing something similar. And because he said like young players need to be given this sort of guidance on how to make that step up to men's football, because we all know how big of a step it is. And then under him, they had some big names come through, like Jordan Ibe came through there and went for decent, like I think Wickham were in like League Two at that point, like big money for Wickham. I think it was close to $1 million to Liverpool. They had Matt Phillips come through, and they had Courtney Hawes.
Was it Scowen as well?
Courtney Hawes. And I just think for us, if he can help these fragile players, and like even if it's not him doing it, but if he can get people in to help psychologically and get them out of this rut, that could be huge for us. That could be worth its weight in gold if he can get them back on it.
Yeah, agree, mate. I mean, one of the biggest issues with this team is the biggest issue is that we get an injury every week, right? I mean, that's not sustainable, right? We can't have an injury every week. But I don't know whether that's actual. I mean, obviously they are injured, maybe, but maybe half of that is also a bit psychological.
Yeah, you know, you look at Willock when he played. He looks like he doesn't trust himself. That's all psychological.
He mustn't have been fit enough. Like I know he fit maybe. He was fit, but not match fit. Not like, because he didn't look like he was trusting his body at all. Like he knew something wasn't right when he was running. You could tell because he just wasn't making the extra strides. He wasn't even trying to take anyone on half the time, was he? You know, like the Willock we knew before was just skidding, bouncing off players, skidding people left, right, and centre. We barely saw that in the last 2 months, have we?
No.
So I don't know if he's had that in the back of his mind. He knows something that isn't right, and then it's just something's happened. I don't know what, but again, I don't suspect we'll see much of. Will we see much of Willock until the end of the season? I don't know.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him again. Not in terms of like if it's necessarily going to write him out, but say it's like 4 or 5 weeks, which I've heard is about 4 weeks he's out. If we get 2 wins in that point, what's the point of throwing him in? Like give him a proper pre-season.
Yeah. We might need him, but
no, if we get the wins first before he's back.
It's a precautionary 4 weeks. What I read is he's not like he's torn his hamstring or anything like that. They're just taking precaution because he felt like his tightness and stuff. So again, it's just worrying, isn't it? Slightly.
Maybe we need to get like Ethan Laird on the phone to old Ten Hag and find out where he sent Sancho because he went off, didn't he, to go to people. And he's come back on like absolutely flying. So maybe Chrissy Willock could go and see a specialist somewhere. About like that was like psychology stuff, wasn't it? Yeah. Maybe that's what he needs. Go get his head right and then come back.
Ethan Laird's another one. He really frustrates me. He started to fall into the Tyler Roberts category of like getting injured and going off all the time, and his form is just terrible. He looks like I'm not saying he's got an attitude problem, but it looks like he gets frustrated in games really quickly, and it impacts his game a lot. But that seems to be just running through the team, doesn't it? Like I don't know. He's got a big job on his hand, hasn't he? I mean, like, even when you look at the team that he can pick on Saturday, we already pretty much know the team, don't we? Like, he's got no options unless he wants to throw in a youngster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw the back four will be the same back four, won't it? That it was last couple of games.
Was Laird back? I don't know.
He's just a doubt. Yeah, he's a doubt.
Well, I saw him in the inside training. He was in his tracksuit, not training or anything, just talking with him. Who was it? Was it him? Who else? So Tyler Roberts and Clark Salter. They were all in their tracksuits just chatting to Gareth. So it doesn't look like they're going to be back.
Yeah. Hopefully he tries something different. But I wouldn't, yeah, like you say, the 11, there's like maybe 12 available players.
Yeah.
Who are good enough.
Right. That's the worry, isn't it? Our bench at the weekend was awful.
Yeah.
Like you haven't got anyone that's going to come off the bench to like affect the game in like a positive way, or even kind of shore it up if we have got like a 1-0 win like lead going on.
Yeah, but these youngsters, right? People will say that having youngsters on the bench is good, right? Because it's like academy players. But there's like, if they're not ready to put them on the bench, then this doesn't do them any favors. Sticking them on the pitch when we haven't won in 15 games, you know. Possibly in a relegation battle, 3-0 down, that doesn't benefit anyone's development, right? So, and it's a necessity rather than quality. It's not like they're ready to be on the bench. They're there because they have to be, because we've got no one else.
I think there is value in having like one or two now and again on the bench, because it helps their transition into the first team, because it's like being around the match day squad. Like, I don't know, there is value, but like you
they
say,
got to be ready though.
Now isn't the time.
They've got to be ready as well, because you don't get many opportunities to come on and make an impression, do you? Like, if you come on and you're terrible, and I don't know, it just doesn't help, does it?
That's what I mean. You know, Rashford, like, remember how he broke onto the scene? Like, it wasn't because he got started over the other striker or whatever. There was, like,
two
injuries, and then in the warm-up, the other striker got injured. Sometimes it just takes, like, just to be thrown in and take your chance. But I honestly don't know how good these youngsters are. Like,
if we put someone like Rashford in the academy, we need to be getting him in the first team.
Yeah, I know, but like, there wasn't massive hype around him. If you know what I mean.
Yeah,
We haven't quite got a Rashford chilling in the academy.
It'd be nice to see a bit of passion on the sideline as well, though, wouldn't it? Someone who's going to be up and like, you know, getting the crowd going and stuff. That's what I'm looking forward to, because both Beal and Critchley are very sort of static. And I know it doesn't really matter, but it gets everyone going, doesn't it? I think when you've got someone on the sidelines like kicking every ball with you, or you know, trying to change games as they're happening and looking like they are anyway. Because it felt very much like Critchley was just watching games go by sometimes.
Yeah.
The subs were horrible.
Oh, yeah.
You could think, as you know, with Ainsworth, it's going to hurt him if we concede, if we lose. He's going to be hurting. So there will be, even if we do lose against Blackburn, I think there would be a response in the next game. So I feel like he's not going to let those kind of results like go easy. Yeah. Well, I think maybe Critchley he just didn't have that in him to get players bounced back.
Yeah. I can see us winning at the weekend, mate. I can feel it. They're going to be, even without a manager, the players are going to already have a bounce because Critchley's gone. And I think that Ainsworth's going to get the extra yard out of him. I'm feeling confident.
And again, like, the crowd's going to be massively behind him. The crowd's going to be, like, I think it's going to be decent on Saturday, the crowd.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going to be. If the Critchley hadn't gone, or even if we had no manager in, I still feel the process and stuff would have happened, and that would have affected the players. So I'm a bit more positive about the weekend now than I was like last week.
It feels nice to be positive for Saturday, doesn't it? It's been a while.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Harry. Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm starting to get into the sort of Gareth Ainsworth fan club.
The only worry is
seeing an early goal.
Boyhood club.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen? That's it. The Boyhood club are going to beat him. That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What do we think then? Score wise, do we think if we all reckon a win?
2-0 Rangers, mate.
2-0.
2-1. I think the 12th man's going to get the goal. The crowd's going to make all the difference.
I mean, you know, as much as I'd like to say you'll get a win in this first game, I honestly, I just take a point, mate. I'm fed up of draws, but at this point, you know, at home, we're poly at home, aren't we? So,
yes,
I'll take the point, but yeah,
that's a good point, Ollie. That's how he needs to sort out, right? Is that we just need to get more, win more games at home. Like, literally, yeah. I don't even know when the last time when was it? Was it October? Was it?
Yeah,
Wigan, was it? Wigan, or was that away?
Yeah, that was at home. Wigan, yeah,
it was October, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Start of October. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. You think we're in March?
We have had a little break, so that's slightly out of context, isn't it, with the World Cup? But yeah, it's still a
lot of games ago, though.
Yeah,
a lot of games have been in God. Yeah, yeah. But I think that just quickly to end on in the summer, there's got to be during whatever happens, there needs to be some change at the club at the top. Something needs to change. Is that fair? Do you think that will happen?
Yeah.
Can you see Les or Lee stepping aside possibly, or some sort of board movement?
I heard someone say the other day that if this appointment is an appointment made by Les, it is squeaky bum time if it doesn't go right, because that would be three managers that he's picked that have all ended badly.
Yeah.
So I think if we go down, which I don't think we will, then we might see some changes at the top. But for me, I'm more worried about the players that we're losing and who we're going to bring in, to be honest. That's my focus at the moment.
Yeah. Is there going to be, who are we losing? Who's going to buy the players?
Oh, mate, I'll just release Amalainen for a start. Owens. all these youngsters that are 25, 26 that are still played in the under-23s and going out on loan, ship them off.
I think as well, we're losing the loan players again. Like, we are using the loan system to the absolute max, and that's not sustainable.
Yeah.
We need to have, like, loan players that are coming in that are, like, squad players to give quality, yes. Not to be coming in because we haven't got anyone else in that position. So if depending on what league we're in, I don't think we're going to go down. But I feel like Ainsworth needs to be given some funds to try and rebuild the squad and get in some crew. Like, we need another striker desperately, yeah. That's not alone. So we've got I think it's going to be a massive job on his hands in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, do we think
Lyndon Dykes will be back before? Will he be back soon?
Back in training, isn't he?
He's training, yeah. Isn't he? But
a few weeks, month.
There's no point trying to throw him in. It's like, we're not realistically going to get relegated. Like, I can't see us not winning another game. We're going to pick up some points, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think we've got enough about us to not go down. Under Critchley, I might have been different, but I feel like with Ainsworth, we've got enough now. I think he'll get us the extra points.
Yeah. We need Jamal Lowe needs to get going. He needs to, because I can't remember, I said it in one of the last pods, I can't remember, but on the last two games, he's picked up this bug, hasn't he? And he's just stopped running. Like, in the first two games when he signed, he was just running everywhere. He was lightning, he was getting in behind, he was hassling, he was shouting at refs, shouting at players. What I saw in the last two games was him just, do you know what I mean? Just pretty much, not giving up, but very lazy, picking up this sort of bug that the team has got with the attitude. So I think Gareth's got to get something out of Jamal Lowe quickly.
That'll come, yeah.
Well, on a positive though, Chris Martin's done all right since he's come in. I was a bit apprehensive about it as a signing, but to be fair, I think he's going to be what we need for the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. He's put himself about.
What he says on the tin. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's okay, isn't he? He will score a few, won't he? But he certainly isn't the answer. Is it up there?
Yeah, but that's what we need for the rest of the season, though, isn't it? Like, that's why he's on that six-month deal. Help us get the goals we need. And it'll go in the summer. I can't see him staying on.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, he's properly playing for a wage. Like, I know he probably won't get another deal with us, but, you know, he's playing for another contract at another club. And some of these players have got a nice, secure future. And you can see that they're not, like, I think that does play a part. Like, he'll have the real hunger to impress in his time here. So
yeah,
he's been better than I thought he would be.
All right, then, lads. Well, we'll leave it there. Let's hope we can get a result on Saturday. Like you said, I think the place will be a much more happier and better Loftus Road than it would have been had, you know, Critchley not been involved. Or actually, even if there was no manager or a different manager, I think we'll have that bounce. We just need to get that early goal, don't we? But great. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining. And we'll be back next week. Up the Ars.
Yours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.